Well, I mean, but that just that some people have found that they have put videos online, and then later on, to make fast money, and then they have tried to get careers after that, like legitimate careers, and it was a problem because the jobs they were trying to get, they were not hired because they found out they had an OnlyFans page, and that stuff. When you put that stuff on the
So the
internet, it's
moral
still
issue
there.
is people being discriminated by doing what they want to do in their personal lives.
Welcome to episode 8 of Breaking It Down with DJ and Courtney. We like to start each episode with a segment called What's Still Cooking. It gives Courtney and I a chance to talk about what may be still lingering on our minds that we've experienced, read, or watched during the week. And what's still cooking for me is my prayers go out to the family of DMX. He died April 9th at the age of 50. He was admitted to the hospital earlier this week after going into cardiac arrest. Some reports were saying he suffered from a drug overdose before going into cardiac arrest and then coma. His family released a statement saying, "We're deeply saddened to announce today that our loved one, DMX, birth name of Earl Simmons, passed away at 50 years old at White Plains Hospital, with his family by his side after being placed on life support for the past few days." Isn't that sad?
There was no other rapper like DMX, so he's definitely going to be missed.
Yeah, he definitely
And
missed. We
he
should.
I just really, really appreciated the way that he was vulnerable, you know? Like he showed that true vulnerability is powerful.
Yeah, so he's a hip hop legend and a music icon, and he is the only artist to have five consecutive debut albums. So he's going to be he's
Debut albums that hit number one.
yeah, exactly. He's a I think going to have the status of Tupac and Notorious B.I.G. I think it
Absolutely.
now.
They're already making those comparisons.
Yeah, and so 74 million albums sold. So he has a pretty impressive resume. So
Wow.
my heart goes out to his family.
Yeah, for sure. For sure.
So another rapper, Bad Baby. Her name is spelled BHBHADBHABIE. She's the girl who was on Dr. Phil, the Catch Me Outside girl. She's a rapper
Catch me
now.
outside. How about
Catch
that?
me outside. How about that?
Oh my gosh.
She is made her
So she's a
first.
rapper now?
She's a rapper now. She's actually had
Oh.
a couple of albums out now.
Oh
So
wow.
yeah. So she's made a name for herself as a rapper, and she now has a OnlyFans page or profile, and she made $1 million in 6 hours.
Wow.
So OnlyFans, what that is a content subscription-based service, which is like so pay-per-view. It's popular amongst sex workers. I need to get a
No,
OnlyFans
you don't,
profile
DJ. No, you don't.
so I
No,
could be a
you
millionaire. So it's one of those places where you can go and you can show pictures of yourself or videos of yourself doing whatever. I guess it depends on you how much you want to expose. But the highest paid earners are mostly, of course, women. Because men, I guess they are on there, paying that money, that shmoney. And she broke another girl's record named Bella Thorne, and people were upset with Bella Thorne because at the time when Bella Thorne back in 2020 set her record for $1 million in 24 hours, sex workers were not able to charge their viewers the same amount, so they couldn't get that amount of money
Oh,
in
wow.
24 hours. So they was upset, like, well, how can you allow this person to
Yeah.
charge more than, so there was some upset about that. And she was getting the sex workers mad. Don't get the sex workers mad, okay? Don't do that. So that's only a little bit on the OnlyFans. I like OnlyFans. I like OnlyFans because I like the idea of people can become millionaires overnight. you know, using whatever abilities. But I think there is a little bit of a moral issue in that as well, because it can chase you later on down the line.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I don't know about the moral issue, what you're talking about.
Well, I mean by that, just that some people have found that they have put videos online, mm-hmm. and then later on, to make fast money. And then they have tried to get careers after that, like legitimate careers. And it was a problem because the jobs they were trying to get, they were not hired because they found out they had an OnlyFans page. And, you know, that stuff, when you put that stuff
so
on the internet.
So the moral issue is people being discriminated by doing what they want to do in their personal lives.
Well, the thing,
well, we got to move on. So okay, let me go into what's cooking for me. You know, that was a long segment. So what's cooking for me is the Prince's previously unreleased Welcome to America album is dropping in July.
Oh,
5 years after his death, he has a new project coming out. It is described as a powerful creative statement that documents Prince's concerns, hopes, and visions for a shifting society, presciently foreshadowing an era of political division, disinformation, and a renewed fight for racial justice. So the project was actually recorded in 2010. And I believe they said that he toured on it. The title track is available now on certain streaming platforms called Welcome to America, and it's a spoken word piece. And the project will be released on July 30th, 2021.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. The last thing that's cooking for me is Kentucky is making it easier. For those who can't see me, I just use air quotes, easier to vote. So Kentucky governor signed into law a bill expanding voting access. So the new law calls for 3 days of early voting. It sets up more in-person voting centers and creates an online portal to register and request absentee ballots. However, so that sounds like good news, right? Great.
Yeah. Yeah, to a certain extent. Yeah.
Right. So deeper. Right, exactly. So voting rights advocates still say, do more. You know, we need more, because Kentucky's new 3-day early voting period is still one of the shortest in the country. Mm. And before this law, Kentucky was among 6 states that did not allow the process at all. Polls also close at 6 p.m. on Election Day, and that's the earliest time in the country. So good move, but do something real.
Yeah, you know, and also Kentucky still was a red state, so they got more turnout for Republican voters anyway. So this is allowing them to continue that down that line. So
Right. All right. Well, let's move into the show.
So for our first segment, second segment, first topic, I want to talk about a little about Amazon, and I love Amazon. Do you love Amazon? How often do you buy from Amazon?
Very rarely. I generally only buy from Amazon if it's hard to get like on the ground, mm-hmm. or like it's the only place I can find it.
Yeah. Yeah. If it's really specific.
I generally don't order from Amazon.
I think I buy something from them every other day.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, I buy
a lot. I treat Target like that. Like, especially now that they have the drive up. Okay. I may go to Target like maybe once a week, but I don't shop from Amazon.
Mm-mm. Oh, I love Amazon. Especially it's hard to find things. You want something real specific, I can go there and get something like really like you can only find there. Well, I think they may be growing a bit too fast.
You think?
Yeah, and you know, and of course, I mean, I'm totally in the bed with Amazon, but and also I own one stock by Amazon, because last time I checked, I only could afford one, and last time it was like $3,308.22 for one Amazon.
You said $3,308
for that was last check yesterday and Friday. So it's very expensive, but and I bought it was at $1,400 something. So I've made doubled that just by buying that one stock. So if I could afford another one, I would, because I think that's going to increase as time goes on. But then again, with this story, may not. So I was looking at a story on an article that I saw where what's happening is their workers are not given. They're given 30-minute breaks, But when you have a fulfillment center, their fulfillment centers are so large. One of them is so large, it's like four football stadiums. Yeah.
Wow.
Imagine trying to get to the bathroom and get your lunch. You get to walk four football. I don't know how close the bathrooms are or how the usually have one cafeteria, I would assume, in the whole building, usually how it operates inside of a warehouse. But by the time you get to the cafeteria, half your break is gone. And then you got to hurry up and get back to your, place where you actually start pack your packaging location. So, what happens if you're late, then it sets off a bell or whistle, let your supervisor know that you got back to your workstation late.
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
So, yeah. And also with
Plantation.
deliveries, I know I get those messages when I get a package saying that it's been delivered. So and I'll go downstairs to my door and whoa, the package is there. So they're keeping tabs on how quickly they're delivering packages as well, So I say all that is that come to find out that in order to not get hit for being for not keeping up a certain work rate that they're tagged for, they are actually starting to urinate in bottles, the employees.
Wow,
Yeah. To
that's
keep
rough.
up. That is rough.
So you're
So,
saying that both in the fulfillment centers, I was thinking that it was just delivery drivers, but fulfillment center
Fulfillment
employers
centers.
are also peeing in bottles.
Yes, and delivery workers are also peeing in bottles to keep up with the demand of their
Wow.
work schedules. At first, when this was reported on Twitter, Amazon officials on their Twitter account said this is not true, absolutely not. But then the employees started twittering on
Tweeting.
Twitter,
They
tweeting
started
on
tweeting on
Twitter, start tweeting
Twitter.
on Twitter, and it was true. And Amazon finally, a few hours later, admitted that they said at least a statement saying, "We know that drivers can and do have trouble finding restrooms because of traffic or sometimes rural routes." And this has been especially the case during COVID when many public restrooms have been closed. Now, I live in a rural area, and yes, there are traffic issues here in the West Washington, D.C. metropolitan area. But let me be clear. I have never had to pee inside of a bottle because of traffic or during COVID time. That's ridiculous.
It is
So,
ridiculous. I mean, it's an unrealistic expectation.
yeah.
I think Amazon, not only are they growing too big, but they've changed the industry in a way that it's not healthy and it's not sustainable. I don't know if you've ever seen the Black Mirror episode, the series Black Mirror on Netflix.
I haven't seen it.
It's a really great series where they explore different topics related to technology and how they can impact us. But there's an episode called Metalhead, where it's pretty much a dystopian scene, where like humans are sort of scavenging for life because of the machine that was built by something like Amazon, where everything is automated. And like so I thought that that was really chilling. If you haven't seen that,
I
I would
would
recommend that you
definitely
see it and everyone
check it
see it.
out.
But like one of the reasons when I knew we were going to talk about this, like I the reasons I don't really want to support Amazon is because of their business practices. In Green America, they created a list of 10 reasons not to shop with Amazon in 2019. And some of those reasons include they're largely powered by fossil fuels. They fight tax laws that would support local economies. Like I remember when they were expanding their headquarters in Seattle, how they were like evading taxes that were going to help the homeless population. Apparently, the homeless population is pretty big in Seattle. They create excessive packaging waste. There have been one or two times that I've ordered something from Amazon and it was like one thing and it came in this huge box with all of this packing material. It's like, why? Right? Another thing, they raise minimum wages at the expense of workers' benefits and incentives. So it's like they're like, hey, we raised the minimum wage, but they also took away stock options.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So it's like I don't know, there's something good about them, But there's a lot not good, in my opinion.
And it was reports said that if they were to give, well, they are trying to unionize in Alabama, there would have this big fulfillment center. And it said that with the stocks rising, they said they gave every employee in Alabama $100,000as their, for each worker in that fulfillment center, they would still have a pretty big profit margin, well, just based off of the what they've gotten in during the COVID. You know, so it's not hurting them to pay their employees more than the minimum wage. But they just won't do it, and they are resisting this union in Alabama. They're promoting for people not to vote for it, and I think that they actually decided not to the vote to create the union was not passed. So it's not, I'm glad that you talked about, you mentioned automation, because as Amazon gets bigger, they are creating these stores that are called Amazon Go stores and Amazon Fresh stores, where this unmanned, there's no cashier, there's no cash.
Really?
They just
So
walk
they're like
in,
7-Elevens with no cashier.
no cashier, basically. You just walk in, scan your app to enter the location, and then you pick up whatever you want, and then you walk out, and then somehow it knows that what you picked up or how many you picked up, and it charges your account accordingly. So
But they have enough money to pay cashiers.
they are, I'm telling you, this company about to get so big, it's going to be crazy.
What's
And
the benefit of that? Like, is there any, does that increase convenience? I don't understand. They already, like, when you're at Whole Foods, it, depending on the store you go to, they already have it so that you can ring yourself up, like how, or I don't know if Whole Foods does that actually, but there are other stores that do that. So it's
No,
like,
Walmart does it,
I
where
know
you
Walmart, Walmart and other grocery
Target.
stores do that. Yeah, exactly. So if you already have me working to buy my stuff, what benefit does it have to have nobody in the store working? I don't understand.
Well, I guess they need stockers, the people that go and stock
Yeah, that's
the
true. Unless they have
whatchamacallit.
robots do that too.
Yeah, that could be a possibility as well. Probably going to find a way to do that eventually.
Yeah, but I'm
So
like, but they have enough money to employ people. Why would
yeah, they're trying to cut out all the middlemen as possible, because you remember I used to get have to pay all this cost for my to get, you know, USPS or FedEx to deliver my packages, and because they've created all these fulfillment centers, I no longer I have a I think it's called Prime.
Yeah, Amazon Prime.
Yes, I have that. So I most of my things that I buy, the delivery is free, because Amazon is not utilizing USPS most of the time, or
They're
FedEx,
using
or
their own
they're using
deliverers.
their own deliveries. So, and I can actually track where they are. I can see where the guy's at, literally located, and how fast he's going to get to my house. He's being tracked to that level. Okay. So I'm just saying that it's good for me as the customer, but the other side of it, the employees are being worked to the ground to make sure you're meeting these deadline. So it
The
makes
other
me
thing.
feel, go
Oh,
ahead.
I'm sorry. I thought we were
No,
done.
go
Okay.
ahead.
Okay, but the other thing about that, like convenience is one thing, but there's also small businesses are being hurt by Amazon as well. And like even small businesses that use Amazon are being hurt. So,
Oh,
like
yeah.
recently, because I try not to order from Amazon, and if I do, I make sure I order it like at least five things. Even though, I have access to a Prime account, I don't want to just order one thing. If I'm like, I'd rather go to a store and pick it up, or at least order directly from the vendor. But recently, I was in a book club, and the book was only on Amazon, and I was like really disappointed that I couldn't buy it, like go to a bookstore and buy it. Or
My book is on Amazon.
okay, but I bet like they're taking a pretty penny away from like
Yeah,
what
they
you would
are.
get if you would sell it another way.
They are.
So, convenience is one thing, but then the more money we give them, the more, and the more
More
money they keep
powerful
from
they
their
become.
employers, exactly, the more ways that they find to make more money and create more practices that aren't good for us in the long haul.
No, they're not. Well, I used to sell, had a different business that Amazon ran out of business because the fees were so high. and the livery was so costly that I couldn't keep up. It didn't make out. I would basically break even after I sold my whatever I was selling, mm-hmm. and after I paid the boxing and the shipping and all those things,
yeah.
I made zero, mm-hmm. near about zero. So mm-hmm. I would pretty much break even. So it didn't make any sense to continue with the business because I was selling items. I wasn't making any money.
Yeah.
So I do get that. It does hurt the small businesses, but you know, I don't see how it's going to stop because they have made such a lane for themselves that really you have to be conscious about saying, I'm going to buy from some other place.
Yeah. Yeah. So we're getting towards the end of the segment, so I'll go ahead and give mm-hmm. my breakdown.
Uh-huh.
I think what you just said, it's about recognizing that we're past the point of making a grassroots effort to impact change when it comes to Amazon's business practices. Mm-hmm. This has got to be a just as powerful movement against them to bring mm-hmm. balance. I'm not yeah. saying that Amazon is all bad, but I am saying that they are, like, there's no reason that a company needs to be that big. There's no mm-hmm. reason that Jeff Bezos needs to have that much money. Like, mm-hmm. it's meaningless. Like, that much money, that much power is actually meaningless. Like, if you think about it, because there's nothing in comparison to it, right?
Right.
So as an individual, while I said that it's beyond a grassroots movement, I do think it starts at the consciousness. Like, we need to be conscious about what we're doing and what participating in, what we're mm-hmm. supporting, right? Thinking about, are there ways that we can support other businesses and still get what we need? Do we need to participate in mindless consumerism? You know, like, there's so much stuff that we may not even need. And think about convenience is generally about, like, saving time in the moment. Mm-hmm. But what about the long-term effects of that? You know, like, what are we creating with the 15 minutes that we save by pressing, you know, ship to me, or telling Alexa mm-hmm. to buy, order us this,
buy
that
now.
If we were to, you know, right, if we were able to find it some other way,
mm-hmm.
How could we do that? So I think the importance of this topic is really to bring people's awareness to it. Like, mm-hmm. And then, you know, use other systems that we have in place to make sure that we can bring some balance. So, like, when Amazon is talking about coming to your city, you need to be at those meetings and finding out, what are they doing to evade taxes? You know, how are they going to contribute to your city? How are the employees that are being that are going to work there going to be paid and protected? Those are the types of things that we need to be aware of when we participate in consuming from them. So yeah. What's your breakdown?
So my breakdown is, I don't think I'm going to stop buying from Amazon. I may mm-hmm. have to be more selective about going through Amazon only.
Yeah.
Like, maybe look at Target, maybe look at Walmart. And Walmart is a one that I'm uncomfortable with, because I know I just don't like Walmart. I just don't. I think their business practices are just horrible. My fear is Amazon getting to that mentality of Walmart, where they no longer care about their employees nor their customers. You know, right now I'm getting the benefit of having that wonderful customer service that I'm getting from Amazon, but it's going to turn to Walmart, where they actually get so big, they don't even care about their employees nor their customers either, because they're that big. Yeah. That's the problem that I think I'm going to have as we move forward with Amazon.
Yeah. I'll follow that up again and just say, shop small. You know?
Shop small.
Yeah. Buy black.
buy black.
Buy black. All right.
So this is our Make You Laugh segment. And I saw a little snippet of Pete Davidson talking to Jimmy Fallon on The Tonight Show.
Wait, who's Pete Davidson?
Pete Davidson is SNL. He's actor on SNL.
Oh, okay.
And he actually dated the singer Ariana Grande for a while. They was engaged for a little while. Yeah, until she broke it off with him. I don't know why, but she did.
Oh, is that who that song is about?
Yeah, Pete Davidson. Good. Yeah.
Oh wait, she's Thank You Next is about Pete Davidson.
Well, it's I think it's assumed that it is.
Oh, okay.
You know,
Wow.
But she never stated the reasons why. I don't know if he cheated on her or something. I don't know. Oh, but people didn't like the relationship, because he's kind of goofy, you know. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of odd pairing. So, but maybe she gave in to that. But he was on the Saturday. He was on the Tonight Show. Uh-huh. Let me get that out of my mouth. And he offered Alec Baldwin some weight loss advice. So Pete Davidson, a few years ago, while Alec Baldwin was playing Donald Trump back then, he was
was great.
Excellent. Yeah, and he was a little bit chunky during that period. So there was a skit where Pete Davidson had to take off his shirt mm-hmm. and reveal his six pack. And I guess Alec Baldwin was so blown away by how his physique and how, you know, his body was, you know. And he, after doing rehearsal, he asked Pete Davidson, you know, how did you get so cut? How did you stay? How do you stay in shape? And Pete Davidson didn't want to be rude because he said, I didn't want to have to say, I still have a metabolism.
Oh, that's awful.
And I'm not in my 50s. At the time, Alec Baldwin is 63 now, but at the mm-hmm. time was in his late 50s. And he said he didn't want to say that. So to make Alec feel better, he just said, oh man, I do 100 push-ups in the morning, 100 sit-ups every single day in the morning. And Alec Baldwin was like, really? Alec Baldwin started doing 100 sit-ups and 100 pull-ups every morning.
Wow.
And so every day he would see Alec Baldwin would see Pete Davidson. He would say, oh man, how those 100 coming up? How that 100 going? You're like, everything going great.
But he wasn't doing them.
He wasn't doing them, you know. He was like, yeah, it's going great, you know. And so eventually Alec Baldwin lost like 100 pounds.
Wow.
By doing this. And he's actually bragging to people about Alec, you know, that Pete Davidson gave him this great technique and all this stuff, his great advice. And Pete Davidson finally admitted on that, I don't do that. I never do 100 sit-ups and pull-ups ever, you know. It just, you know, he just didn't want to say, you know, I'm, you know, 20, 25 or 24 at the time, and I have a metabolism and you don't, you know.
Right.
So I thought it was really hilarious, you know, that.
Well, that's great for Alec Baldwin that he took control of his health.
It's great that he took care of exactly that he got healthy, and that, you know, I haven't seen what it looks like now, but I'm quite sure he looks a hell of a lot better than he did when he was playing Donald Trump.
Have you seen those? There's videos on YouTube, though. This is not really funny, but of people that do those experiments of like mm-hmm. 100 squats every day for like a month or whatever. So they're interesting. I've seen a couple of them where like one, people have to like change their lives in order to make a commitment like that.
Yeah, you do.
But they see results, you know?
Yeah. If you do 100 sit-ups and 100 push-ups every day, you're definitely going to see some results. Mm-hmm. You know, he's probably also probably watched what he was eating as well. Mm-hmm. So I'm happy for him, but at least he finally admitted that. But Pete Davidson said that he takes all the credit though. it's all because of me.
He takes the credit for the change. That's hilarious. Okay. So let's move into our next topic, when we are going to discuss racism in the justice system. Mm-hmm. So recently, a Florida man, Crosley Green, 63, was released from prison after spending more than 30 years locked
up. Wow, 30 years.
In 2018, a federal judge overturned Green's conviction on the basis that prosecutors kept evidence from his lawyers during the 1990 trial. Green remained in prison even after his conviction was overturned, because the state of Florida appealed the ruling and they wanted to keep him in prison. But last Tuesday, a federal judge, Roy B. Dalton, granted a motion from Green's lawyers to release him from prison, pointing out that his age and a recent exposure to tuberculosis while incarcerated put him at risk for getting COVID-19. So he's going home now, still to be under house arrest because they're trying to appeal the overruling. But additionally, Ronnie Long, another Black man, he sat in jail in North Carolina for 44 years for a crime he didn't commit. And so now he's been released, but he's also trying to fight a law that says he's only owed $7,500 for 44 years, right?
Wow.
So I wanted to talk about this because these stories aren't new, right? And why this seems to continue to happen.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's just really, really sad, you know. But I did see the movie that you recommended, called Just Mercy.
Right.
And it really struck a chord with me, you know. I mean, I heard about these things, but it just made me see it more clearly about the unfairness of somebody taking your life and just throwing it down the drain, but for their own reasons, right, for their own purposes.
Yeah, so let's break down what Just Mercy is. So Just Mercy is the film that's about Brian Stevenson, who was a Harvard Harvard graduate lawyer who started a practice to support innocent people on death row, right? Mm-hmm. And so he helps in the movie he's portrayed by Michael B. Jordan.
Yeah.
And he helps inmate Walter Johnny D. McMillan, who's portrayed by Jamie Foxx.
Yeah, he does a great job.
Yeah, it was a great movie. It's on HBO Max, even though they're not giving us any money. it's on HBO Max, so you can check it out. I thought it was really good. But I liked the film because of the work that Brian Stevenson does. But I came to know about Brian Stevenson not through that film, but through Anthony Ray Hinton's book, No Relation. It was an Oprah Book Club book.
Yeah, yeah.
What was it called again? You have the name, right?
I have the name, and now my screen is doing all kinds of crazy stuff.
Okay.
While you're pulling that up.
I got it. It was called
The Sun Does Shine,
How I Found Life and Freedom on Death Row. So it's a really great book. I would also recommend people read that.
Yeah, I have that on my reading list, you know. I bought it as soon as Oprah put it on her book club list. Yeah. Yeah.
It was really, really, really good. And I thought it did, especially, I think it does a really good job of explaining what's happening to these people or anyone, especially when you're put in prison for something that you didn't do.
Right.
And what I think is really telling about the two recent stories is that both those men had all white juries. All white, right? And I want to say that Anthony Ray Hinton also had an all white jury, right? Have you ever been called for jury duty?
No.
Interesting. Okay, because I've been called like at least 5 times in my life, and I've been on a jury once. And what's interesting, what I noticed about that time, it was actually about an incident that happened in my neighborhood. So I thought that I wasn't going to be, you know, I would be like a biased juror, but they still selected me. And it was a Black man who was being charged. There were very few Black men in the jury pool.
Mm-hmm.
There were maybe like 3, but none of them made the jury. None of them made it to the jury. And I just find it really interesting. People's resistance to participate in jury duties when that's part of the justice system. So I'm not sure how people can be expected to have a jury of their peers. That's a right if people are resisting to participate. But then also, they're not being selected.
Mm-hmm. When I worked for the FBI, well, as a consultant, if they just saw that you work for the FBI, they didn't want you. I've seen so many people who were asked to show up for just selection, jury duty selection. And if you wanted to just simply say, I'm affiliated with the FBI, they automatically said, you wasn't going to be selected.
Wow. I remember there was one time I was talking to this litigator, and she was saying that when I was telling her about my experience on the jury, she was saying that Black women are generally like the jurors that they want. They want Black women.
Why is that?
Because they feel that they're going to be compassionate. So the defense is going to want a Black woman because they're going to feel that she's going to be more compassionate. So on my jury, I want to say that it was mostly Black women. So it was a DC. It was mostly Black women. There were a couple of white women. I want to say like there was like 2 or 3 white women, maybe one white man and then one ethnically ambiguous person. But she was telling me that, like, you know, when she picks a juror, she was like, well, that was the perfect makeup for the defense. And I mean, it was. We actually, you know, we said that they didn't prove one of the charges. It was a drug possession case where he was like found to have all of these packs of cocaine on him. And then so pretty much what happened, from my perspective, what happened, he was racially profiled, he got pulled over, and he was found having drugs on him, right? So they were charging him for possession and intent to distribute. So we ruled, we the jury found that, of course, he had it on him, so we couldn't deny that. But the intent to distribute, we said that they didn't prove that, right? But clearly, you know, clearly, why would you have that many packaged that way if you weren't trying to distribute, right? But Black women, like, you know, I would say from my experience, they were the ones that they saw through the racism in the justice system, you know? So like they saw through it and were like, nope, we didn't see that they proved this. You know, so it's just, I think it's interesting, and I think it's important for people to recognize that they have a part in playing in bringing some equity into the justice system.
Yeah, I do ag agree with that, you know. I think for African American men, I think, you know, me being African American man, it's you already feel like you don't want to be in that. For me, I don't want to be in that situation, you know, because I seen relatives go through the judicial system, and it's nightmarish. It really is. And you can forget about it. If you're poor and black, you're at such a disadvantage. It's like you're pretty much still you're on the mercy of the court, because that's and let them have their way with you, because that's pretty much where you are. It's just such a difficult thing to even look at. When I even go down to court for a ticket, because I will file a traffic ticket, a traffic ticket, and sitting there all day and watching, it's just one of the most I swear to God, it tears me up watching that stuff, you know.
And so I don't want to always be the one that's beating the drum of racism, but that's what it is, right? You know, we know that we have laws that are written to target certain populations and benefit others. We know, like in the cases that I even mentioned, like the two gentlemen that were just recently released, Anthony Ray Hinton and the guy that's portrayed in Just Mercy. I don't want to keep saying him, he's a guy, Walter Johnny D. McMillan. They all had cases that didn't hold water, you know,
Yeah,
like if
this
you
is
it
clearly
was just
obvious.
yeah, it was very obvious that they weren't the ones, right? And that prosecutors just wanted to close the case, and any black guy could fit the bill.
Well, the reason why is because they said that he cheated on his wife with a white woman.
That's in
And
Just Mercy, yes.
yes, and what I was assuming, the way I felt watching the film, I felt like maybe a white man may have killed the teenager, but he was maybe a friend to the police department, and instead of actually bringing in the person who did it, they already had somebody that they disliked, because it was known that he cheated on his wife with this white woman. And like with anything that's going to come up that we need to pin on somebody, we're pinning it on this guy, because we're already mad at him. So that's the way I got from the film, even though it was like it wasn't outwardly said. But one thing the lawyer did say, Stevenson, is that aren't you worried about the person who did commit this crime? And he didn't even care. It was like, we don't even care about there's other person out there that did the crime, because it made me feel like, well, you must know who did this crime, and you're not concerned because you're buddy buddy with the person who did it. So, you know, we got that under control.
Well, let's go ahead and wrap up the segment. My breakdown is one, I mean, I don't think this is news for especially Black people. I think we are very aware of the racism that's in the justice system. I think it's really great that more media is given to this, and hopefully we can get some changes. I think that if you are asked to serve on a jury, that you should be proud and take the opportunity to do so as a citizen, and then, you know, do it with honor. I would also recommend people to see Just Mercy and read Anthony Ray Hinton's book, especially because it's important. I think everyone should read those books, not just Black people, not just people that work in the justice system. But I think Anthony Ray Hinton's book really does a good job of showing what's lost when you're in prison. And I think that that's important, not just for people who are innocent, but for people who we send to prison, you know, like, is that even just, you know, what I believe that there are more ways that we can think about when it comes to rehabilitation and when we think about bringing justice into the world. And our justice system right now, I don't think currently does any of that. So I think that this is an important marker, because we continue to see these cases come through where people who were on death row were innocent and then get free, but they've lost all of these years of their life. Like two of the four men that we've mentioned had their parents die when they were in prison, you know?
Yeah,
like
sad.
That's nothing that you can compensate for. You can't bring that back to someone.
And $74.
And then if someone commits a crime, keeping them from that, do you think that's really going to make them a better person?
No, it's not.
Right. So what's your breakdown?
Well, I think there are three different issues here. One issue is the death penalty. I'm not for the death penalty. Mm-hmm. I think that's something that needs to be looked at. And also falsely convicting individuals without giving them the true due process, I think it still is happening. And from what I've experienced, that just the court system in itself is the new slavery in the modern times that we live in now.
Absolutely. Yeah. I would definitely recommend The New Jim Crow by Michelle Alexander. Everyone should read that. Okay, let's move on into our Inspire segment. And this week, I wanted to shout out a friend of the show, or a friend of mine, Holly Bainham, the owner of R Street Studios in DC. She is starting a nonprofit called Girls Groove, and is aiming to introduce girls between 13 and 18 to the recording arts. Oh. So historically, women don't have a big place in the audio engineering and like the behind the scenes part of music making. Mm-hmm. And Holly is focusing on bringing the three C's to them. So focusing on collaborating, creativity, and building confidence. She's going to start with the girls in the underserved areas, so starting in DC. But I thought it was such a great mission. And so Holly came into my life because we sing in the choir together, but she's also an audio engineer. So
she's a Unity member as well.
Yeah. So we sing in the choir together, and she started mentoring me and another young lady on audio engineering. And she's also the place, you know, R Street Studios is the place where I'm recording the vocals for my EP. But now she, with Girls Groove, she's also creating a mobile recording studio. So she bought an RV and it's currently being renovated. And some of the programming for Girls Groove will involve the mobile studio. I thought that was so cool, but I wanted to let people know about Girls Groove so that they can get involved and support. There is a Facebook group that you can join called Girls Groove. You just look for that on Facebook, and you can also email Holly at girlsgroove, GIRLSGROOVE, the number 21. So girlsgroove21@gmail.com. And the 501c3 status is pending, but you can support financially. You can donate items.
Oh, like this is a nonprofit. Okay.
Office equipment. But be on the lookout and support Girls Groove, because it's an important movement. Because like I said, women are underrepresented in that industry. And that is, I think it's a wonderful way to do those three C's, you know, to focus on collaboration, build confidence, and express creativity. So I just wanted to shout out Holly and the girls group. So that's our episode. We finished another one. Episode 8.
Another one in the hopper.
That's right. Thank you all so much for listening. DJ, did you have any other people that you wanted to shout out this week?
No, I didn't see any new names this week of anybody.
I think you got people shy. Now they're shy. They don't want their names said.
Yeah, I actually got a note about that. That people want their ability to be anonymous, and you know, and maybe we can get a phone number for those ones who don't want to actually have their name attached to. I think there must be some spicy comments if you know you don't want to have your name attached to what you need to say. But, you know, have some confidence, you know, say, hey, this is how I feel. So leave a comment on our Facebook page or our YouTube page, or you may feel bold enough to even write us a review on Apple Podcast. But if you would like to also, you can leave us an email at breakingitdownshow@gmail.com. Again, that's breakingitdownshow@gmail.com.
And like DJ said, we are on Facebook and Instagram. You can find us on Facebook at Breaking It Down Podcast and on Instagram at Breaking It Down Show.
Yeah.
So thank you so much for listening, and we will see you next week.
All right. Take care. Breaking It Down with DJ and Courtney is edited and produced by Designs by Courtney H. Music produced by Courtney Hinton. Thank you for listening.
Please subscribe to this podcast on your favorite podcast platform and leave us a review.